From the All-Ireland Business Foundation, this is Elaine Carroll bringing you AIBF Business Talk. AIBF is an independent national body tasked with enterprise development and the promotion of best-in-class businesses as business all-stars. Today, I catch up with Shay Lynch of Future State. Shay helps companies generate more profits through systems thinking. He's an author, recognized thought leader, listed in the top 50 most innovative companies in Ireland, and has been on multiple judging panels choosing the best companies in his country. He's recently been recognized as an All-Star Master Practitioner in Business Process Performance from the All-Ireland Business Foundation. Being an engineer by trade, building system is what he does. He's a huge sports fan and always leverages systems thinking to systematically improve everything he does. He's the honor to represent his country. Shay, thanks so much for joining me here today on AIBF Business Talk. Shay, before we get into the nuts and bolts of what we're going to talk about here today, tell us a little bit about yourself and about your business, Future State, because it's a very enthralling title or name for a business. What exactly do you do?
Well, what I do is I literally take companies to their future state, Elaine. So I will look at them and do my assessment on them in the beginning. And I always talk about looking at the good, the bad and the ugly, right? And then figuring out how we can weed out the ugly, mitigate the bad, and then look at the good and then make it better. So I talk about doing things better and then doing better things, you know, and like I'm an engineer, right? So how I got into this, Elaine, is that I engineer the hell out of things. Like I'm a manufacturing, so step by step. And I set up my own business like in 2000, like a different business, 2007. And I hadn't got a clue. Like I really did not have a clue. The only thing I could rely on was my engineering skills. And I literally built that business step by step. And I literally put a post-it on the wall, this step, and this step. And I built that business and ran it and grew it through a recession of 2008. Then I saw that. And then I had a passion to go back and help companies do what I did, because I actually came to the conclusion, regardless of the economic situation, you can thrive in good times and bad. And that's been proven many times over. So I want to give companies a mechanism so they can know where they are and then by definition know where they need to be and build that step by step.
That's a fantastic perspective to have, Shay, to know that as a, you know, for a business owner to actually acknowledge that, hang on here, no matter how bad things may be in the external environment, we can still thrive. There's always opportunity out there. So it's very interesting to tie it back to your own background in the engineering sense. So would I be correct or judgmental in saying that you probably have a process or a manual, you know, step-by-step guide for every process that you have?
Is that just including my personal life as well? I can't answer that question, Elaine. Oh my God. But no, I sort of do, right? And I thrive off process. And Elaine, like I genuinely do in a lot of things in my life, when I'm doing it, building a challenge, for example, if I'm running a marathon, if I'm training for a marathon, I will break that down to step by step and not just look at the running aspect. I'm going to look at my diet. I'm going to look at my breathing. I'm going to look at all the complementary variables that if I improve a little bit there and a little bit there, it'll accumulate to a lot. So I am very process mindset and goal driven. And it is like everything I do, like, and even what I do now, I go into companies and I have no idea what they do, Elaine. And that would scare a lot of people. Like when they go into a new company, if they're starting a new job, that scares them. I get really excited because my first step is to learn what they do today. And I break that down step by step. And I literally look at their sales process, step by step of their sales, step by step of their operations, and literally talk, do that analysis, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
I think that title, it just rings true for everything, doesn't it? And you put it out fantastically there, you know. And what type of businesses or companies, Shay, do you work with typically? Is there a profile?
Do you know what? It's a really good question, Elaine. And I could put myself in a niche if I wanted, but see, I don't like that. I like seeing different companies in different sectors, different cultures. And that's what I love about working for myself. I love that change element. So if a company comes to me, I'm not going to say no. If I like the challenge, I will accept, you know. So I don't have a definition, but I'll only accept if I believe I can help, Elaine, at the same time. I'm not going to take it for the sake of it. There has to be that win-win. I need to be able to help them. They need to get something out of it, and so do I. So I have to make sure that's going to be right in the beginning.
Good to know that variety certainly is the spice of life. And I can see by you the energy that you get from the challenge of going into an environment that you may not be terribly familiar with and learning, because every day is a school day, Shay. Shay, it's coming to the end of, I won't say a bit of a shaky, turbulent year for many. And how we approach the year ahead. We've all going to have the same 365 days in the next year, the same 12 months. How can we make the best of that time? So do you have any tips to help people, you know, and business listeners in today, you know, and how they can develop their business strategy for the year ahead?
Yeah, well, look, I'll give you, like, this is a question I get asked a lot, Elaine, funny enough, because it is that time of year. And from all my experience with different customers and in different sectors, I usually give them about five key areas to look at. And the first one, when it comes to strategy, don't launch into your strategy. Build your framework first of what you want that strategy to achieve from a business, not from a goal perspective or a vision, but like, what do you want to, what are all the different elements that you want to make sure are included in your strategy? And an example of that, Elaine, is like when companies will just focus on sales, we want to grow our targets by 20%. That's not really a strategy, but that's what a lot of companies latch on to. So I talk about build your framework and include, make sure you've got all the elements included from the beginning. And then you start doing, well, the sales is going to be one aspect of it, right? Then customers should be another aspect. But what about your people inside your business? What's your strategy for them? So make sure your strategy is all inclusive. And I always talk, the three main elements are your customers, your teams, and your operations. They're the three things, and make sure they're included, right? So that would be probably the biggest one, I would say. Build the framework before you launch into actually building a strategy, right? The next one then I talk about is getting specific, right? And like a lot of companies will say, yeah, I want to be the best supplier in the industry. That's just a wish, you know. No, you have to start clearly with the end in mind when you're building a strategy, right? Then you have to pair it back. Well, if that's my vision, what does that mean? What are the goals that are going to get me to that vision, right? So what are the three things? And that could mean many things to many different companies, you know. So it could be, I want to create a new product, you know, I want to enter a new marketplace or demographic, you know, I want to grow by 20% and I want to increase my portfolio by 20%. And then even at that, Elaine, then you have to think about, what are the program of works that I'm going to need to do to get there? You can't just say, well, because again, going back to the sales one, a lot of people say, well, we got this last year, let's just add 10% and then hope for the best. No, no, no. You have to really pare it down to goals, program of works, projects, milestones, targets, and daily activities. Right?
And that can actually be a painful process, is stopping a pause and really fine-tuning down, narrowing it down.
It's designed to be painful, Elaine. I'll tell you now, the more painful, the better. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because when you ingrain that with your team, you know, they're not going to forget, you know, and it's ingrained. They're going to be bought into it too. You know, so this is not just something you do on your own as a leader. This is a team thing, you know, and in fact, strategy should be personal to the team members. It can't be just you in a corner. This is what I want. This has to be a team thing, because if you want people to go with you on this journey, they have to be bought into it, you know, because I did analysis last year on all the companies that were able to get through the pandemic, and you looked at the cultures of the business and you could see, well, they had growth mindsets. They had cultures where people helped each other. And the ones that didn't, well, when your back is against the wall, if you haven't treated your people well in your business, are they going to go above and beyond for you? No. So that has to be a big part of it.
And to second that, the type of businesses as well that I've seen very evidently that have thrived during the last while have been those that have had, you know, yes, they're people at heart, but a community spirit as well. And that great community engagement.
Absolutely. And that is like a big thing. Like, and one of the tips coming on to that one is to build accountability, build cultures, build a strategy culture, you know, because here's the thing, Elaine, things change. And as we've seen over the last 18 months, things change fast. So you have to have a change element to your business. And the only way you can do that is make sure your team are involved. They're flexible, they're dynamic. So, and you do that by getting a culture of help, people helping each other and building accountability. So when I talked about that, getting specific when you're building out the different program or works and all that, they have to be involved. They have to build a plan, not you. You don't tell them, you don't dictate, you agitate. Get them coming along this journey with you, because dictation will get you so far in the short term, but people run out of steam very, very quickly.
That's a very good, very well put. Don't dictate, agitate. Get it out of them.
Yeah, exactly. Agitate. And the other one then with that, when you're starting to build these visions, right? A lot of leaders do it on like their gut instincts, right? This is what I want. This is what I'm saying. And Elaine, I tell you now, I can't tell you how important instincts are in business, right? But that's the only part of it. Then you have to go, well, do my instincts make sense? You know, I think instincts are great. They're brilliant, but you need to then validate them, you know, get data. So the third tip there, I think it is based on data. You have to validate everything you think you'd like to do. They're just assumptions. You know, we'd like to do this. You have to validate it. And then if you can't validate it, you have to look for more data. I cannot tell you how important that is to make sure there's stuff to back it up. And again, going back to, if you want to bring your teams with you, they have to see that it can work too. And that's where the data comes in.
It's like the proof or the back, it really backs it up and gives weighting behind it.
Yeah, brilliant. You know, and that was actually number four, by the way. I can't count anymore. The last one, Elaine, is again, it's about resourcing it. You can't just assume things will get done. People have their day jobs. People have busy day jobs. And we've known, as you know, Elaine, things have gotten busier over all those companies that are still working. They're doing more because everybody's in meetings. Everyone's doing Zoom calls. Everyone's online, plugged in all the time. So you need to be very mindful of people's workload and don't overload or overwhelm. It has to be built into their capacity models. So you have to ensure that you resource this. So when I talk about, again, you start with your framework, get specific, you build your program of works. They need projects and project teams, you know, and now depending on the size of your business, it's dependent on how many people you need, but this has to be built into your resourcing model, your capacity and demand model for the year. So if they have to spend 20% of their time on strategy work, where's that going to come from? Is that on top of their already day job? Are you going to say, look, let's cut back things and say, look, you don't need to do this. This is not like, while it's a necessary thing, but it's not the value I want you to be focused on. So I want to take you out of that for a short period so you can focus on this. And it's all about being able to do that. You can't just overload people because again, they'll burn out, you know, and I call it the hamster on the wheel. You know, they'll be crashing burners over time, you know. And two things will happen then, Elaine. Either they'll leave, right? Which is, you've lost someone there and then you have to replace them and the cost of that and the cost of training and the knowledge buildup. Or even worse, they'll stay and leave. They'll stay and cut back in contribution because they burnt out. They're not getting that what's in it for me because you didn't make it a team thing and you didn't build accountability in the right way and you lose them. And they can be toxic and contagious to a business. So they would be my sort of big tips on getting the strategy.
Yeah, right. And the thing is, you see, would you be of the mindset that look, that say the top management or leadership team should sit down together first and look at this framework before including in, you know, the rest of the employees and all levels within the organization?
Absolutely. There needs to be, like, there needs to be, like it's like I talk about top down and then bottom up, Elaine. Like a management have to be aligned before they go to the wider teams, you know, because managers don't always agree either. So it's important to get that congruency and alignment with your management team and then bring it out. Because it, like to me, I always talk about like the cross sweet spot between business goals. So if you think of an X, right, that point, the contact point in the middle of the two lines, right? Like one line is for business goals, one is for individual goals. They have to cross over and there has to be that sweet spot. They have to align. And that starts coming top down, but then it comes back up because when you create that ripple effect, right? And you create that culture of people wanting, they buy into it. They're going to start coming to you with ideas, Elaine. They're going to start like, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And you've motivated them. You've given them a reason to come in and not just exchange time for money. So it has to be, start with top down and then build it bottom up again. You know, it has to be both directions.
And how flexible does your strategy need to be? Because I think we've seen one thing for sure is that, look, I think it was a Charles Darwin that said it's that strongest of the species that survives. It's those that are most adaptable to change. And certainly that's been echoed within the business environment in the last 2 years. So just say, for Pete's sake, if I go out and, you know, have a really good management meeting, we develop our strategy, include the team, have it all down, our values are set, we've got the input, and it's looking really rosy and shiny, off we head into January, and the whole world's change has come, you know, April, May, June time. At what point do you need to say, hang on here, this strategy maybe isn't working or needs to be flexed or we need to revisit it?
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant question, Elaine, because it's so important that you can't have tunnel vision, right? And I've seen this many times over where they have this five-year plan, right? And they spend a lot of money, invest in people, resources, technology, and all of a sudden somebody else has disrupted the marketplace. This, it's not just COVID that does these things, Elaine. This happens all the time. And I know when I built my first business, I thought it was amazing. I done my strategy, like my good scenario, my break-even and my loss operating one. I forgot to do the economic crash one at the time because it was a 2008, right? Well, that was a great lesson, you know. And but the point of me telling you that story is when I talked about building those, when you start with your vision and getting that specific based on data again, so then you build a program that works, Elaine. And I always say check in at least every 90 days at the most, right? So you're going to set yourself a set of targets, right? This is what I want to achieve. This is how I'm going to achieve it. And these are the mini targets I'm going to have to make either on a monthly or weekly basis and sometimes daily, right? But guess what? When you get to that first milestone, you step out, you check out and you go, okay, first of all, is our vision still relevant, right? Because you're trying to predict the future, you know, and you're doing it on only a certain cohort of information, a certain level of it. But as you go into it, you learn more, you gather more data. Then you check out and go, is this relevant? Is it still relevant? If it is, yes, great. Are we on target? No. What do we need to change to get back on target? But our vision is still relevant. That's one scenario. The other scenario is, do you know what? Now that we have more data, we see that we want to be a little bit more specific with our vision and we want to sort of go a little bit off course, just a little bit, you know, and we need to adapt and then build the metrics and milestones again for that. And then sometimes there is the disaster scenario where you go, something's really happened in the marketplace. Our model is not relevant. We need to go back to the drawing board. And at least you've only wasted 3 months, not a year, Elaine, doing that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you're doing this in real time as you go, you may not even wait. You may see this earlier. So the strategy is not something, as I said, a once-off exercise. It's constant iteration. You iterate. Every time you have those check-ins, you iterate. So over time, and what you think, Elaine, what you said you start out at the start of the year, I guarantee you look back in 12 months and you'll have gone down a slightly different road. And then if you do that 2 years, you'll see, because it's never, the whole point is it's not going to be the same. You have to adapt. To your point, you have to adapt. That's a huge element.
And I think a very good point that I heard recently from Dr. Briga Hines, who chairs our adjudication board here at AIBF with the Kemi Business School at the University of Limerick. And she met a business owner who said, oh, Jesus, he said, look at this. He says, this is my fifth strategic plan after being drawn up, he said, by, you know, whatever consultancy. And he was there tearing it up at the end of the year. And she just says to him, she goes, don't look at them as each one as being an infinite plan. Each one was an option. There were just five different options you had. You know, and yeah. I thought it was a very good mindset to take on board. It's not that, oh, my strategic plan isn't working. Actually, maybe just this option wasn't working out, you know, and to be big enough to be able to flex that option. As you said, when you look back at the very end of the year or 2 years down the line and look back, you know, certain things will have changed, you know, the environment. There's certain things we can't control, but it's how you adapted within your model and within the framework.
And I'll give you a great example. That's spot on. With Dr. Hines, what you said and what you're saying there. And I'll give you a great example of that. Again, I worked with a company a number of years ago and they were looking to build a new white label product for a market, right? And but they didn't know which one. So they got a few R&D designs done for them with a supplier of theirs, right? and they start testing the waters in the marketplace. They failed five times, right? Now, with that, see, they going back to this capacity model and giving people space to work on it, they knew the activities they needed to do to just take over and, like, I call it their bread and butter work, right? They knew they could do okay by just doing X, Y, and Z, say, for 6 months, right? But they allowed space by not doing the other 1, 2, 3 stuff. They allowed space to test and pilot new different products. And 3 or 4 of them failed before they got to the fifth one. And that took a bit of time, Elaine. But they allowed the space in the business for it to fail without failing the business, if that makes sense. And that's what you need to know. Well, if I want to start a new strategy, I need to make sure the business is protected. So that's the number one goal. And then you start doing the other stuff. And then as you see it working, that becomes more of the main stuff over time. So it's so important to make sure you can protect yourself at all costs.
But as well, I think there's great solace in that type of risk management, I call it, within a business. If your business is mature enough to lend itself to that, I think it's very good, because look, we all know that we need to innovate and continuously be upskilling and being creative. So the only way we can do that is by allowing ourselves that space. And I think that's a really, really great point to finish on, Shay. Shay, just from your own experience, having built up your own businesses in the past and now transferring that knowledge into working with other businesses on their strategy and their processes, what are some of the biggest lessons that you have learned? You know, if you were to give some advice back to yourself or back to another business person, what would that be?
Well, it's a very good question, Elaine. And I'd love to say, how long have you got with this question? Because I have many answers. But if I could boil it down to just a few, right, is remove your ego, right? There's no room for ego in a business. As a business leader, everything needs to be emotionally sound, right? You can't go off on your own. I cannot stress the importance of it's a team thing, right? Absolute team thing. Bring them in. Strategy should be personal to everyone in your business space. That, to me, is one of the biggest lessons that I've learned. That's what I learned from my first business. The other biggest lesson is to allow and, like, plan for that crisis model. Have that backup plan ready to go always. You know, it doesn't take much time to develop it, Elaine, but at least you know when it happens. When you see the markers, you've got these targets that you, or KPIs that measure when things go bad, and when they reach a certain threshold, you go into a certain mode. So build those modes in your business so you can flex your business. So you have a crisis mode, you have a good mode, then you have, okay, we're a stretch mode, and then crisis mode. The goal of having that flexibility is when you get into the stretch, you change how you do things so you can come back down again. And that's how you avoid that crisis. That's what I learned. That was the biggest lesson about how to flex my operating model. And when you do that, that's why I'm saying you can thrive in good times and bad.
Shay, fantastic points there. I think there's well more than 5 tips there, which will help all our listeners today to develop their strategy for the year ahead. Shay, it's been a pleasure hosting you today on AIBF Business Talk. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Elaine. It's great talking to you as always.
Thank you for listening to AIBF Business Talk today. I really do hope you enjoyed listening in. To find out more about the All-Ireland Business Foundation and the work that we do, especially the Business All-Stars programme, just go to www.aibf.ie. Remember, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Until next time, from your host, Elaine Carroll. Goodbye.